The grapple socket, plugged into his lower left arm, closed around the last loading pin. He braced himself on the truck's base and tried to shift the pin. The metal below his feet emitted a hesitant creak as his boosted muscles exerted their carefully measured force. The pin remained perfectly steady. "Okay, load it in," he told the waiting ground crew. His grapple socket disengaged, and he jumped down onto the rough tarmac. The truck driver edged the vehicle back under the waiting McBoeing. Hydraulics began to slide the bundle into the lower fuselage cargo hold. Warlow stood beside the space plane's rear wheel bogies in the shade. His body's thermal distribution system had more than enough capacity to cope with Lalonde's blue-white sun, but he felt cooler here. A power bike rounded the corner of the hangar and turned towards the space plane. Two people were riding on it, Marie Skiver and a young man wearing a check shirt and khaki shorts. She drew to a halt in front of Warlow, giving the big Cosmonik a breezy grin. Cradles in the space plane's hold started to snap shut around the bundle's load bins. The truck's payload handling mechanism slowly withdrew. "How's it going?" Marie asked. "One more flight after this and we'll be finished," Warlow said. 10 hours maximum." "Great." She swung her leg over the bike's saddle. The young man dismounted a moment later. "Warlow, this is Quinn Dexter." Quinn smiled amicably. "Warlow, pleased to meet you. Marie here tells me you're heading for Norfolk." "That's right." Warlow watched the truck drive off back to the hangar. The bright orange vehicle looked strangely washed out. His neural mnemonics reported a small data dropout from his optical sensors, and he ordered a diagnostics program interrogation. "This could be fortunate for both of us, then," Quinn Dexter said. "I'd like to buy a passage on the Lady Macbeth. Marie said your license for passengers." "We are." "Okay, fine. So how much is a berth?" "Do you want to go to Norfolk?" Warlow asked. His optical sensors had come back online. The diagnostics had been unable to pinpoint the glitch. "Sure." Quinn's happy smile broadened. "I'm a sales agent for Dobson Engineering. It's a Kulu company. We produce a range of basic farm implements, plowshares, wheel bearings for carts, that kind of thing. Suitable for low-technology worlds." "Well, you definitely came to the right place when you came to Lalonde," Warlow said, upping the diaphragm's base level, his best approximation of irony. "Yes, but I think I need to wait another 50 years before Lalonde even gets up to low-technology. I haven't been able to break into the official monopoly, not even with the embassy's help, so it's time to move on." "I see. One moment." Warlow used his neural mnemonics to open a channel to the space plane's flight computer and requested a link to the Lady Macbeth. "What is it?" Joshua datavised. "A customer," Warlow told him. "Give me a visual," he said when Warlow finished explaining. Warlow focused his optical sensors on Quinn's face. The smile hadn't faded, if anything it had expanded. "Must be pretty keen to leave if he's willing to buy passage on Lady Mac rather than wait for his berth on a company ship," Joshua said. "Tell him it's 45,000 fusadollars for a zero-tau passage." There were times when Warlow regretted losing the ability to give a really plaintive sigh. "He'll never pay that," he retorted. "If Joshua didn't always try to extort clients, they might win more business." "So?" Joshua shot back. "We can haggle. Besides, he might, and we need the money. The expenses I've shelled out on this bloody planet have just about emptied our petty cash account. We'll be breaking into our Norfolk fund if we're not careful." "My captain is currently charging 45,000 fusadollars for a zero-tau flight to Norfolk," Warlow said out loud. "Zero-tau?" Quinn sounded puzzled. "Yes." He glanced at Marie, who remained impassive. Warlow waited patiently while the space plane's cargo hold doors began to swing shut. His neural mnemonics relayed the background chitter of the pilot running through the flight prep sequence. "I don't want to travel in zero-tau," Quinn said woodenly. "Got him. 55,000 for a real-time cabin," Joshua datavised. "Then I'm afraid cabin passage will cost you 55,000, Warlow recited laboriously. consumables, food, environmental equipment maintenance, it all adds up. Yes, so I see. Very well, 55,000 it is then. Quinn produced a Jovian bank disc from his shorts pocket.